Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, what's happening, man?
Hey, what's up, man? I'm so glad to be back.
It's good to have you back.
I can't believe I'm with the wine.
You know what? Somebody that's with all of us. You know, he that hath friends must
first show himself friendly.
Right. Well, I know by being in this place that there's a whole lot of people that wants to know who this friend is. Why don't you tell them about it, Mark?
Well, there is a friend that sticks closer than any brother. I got a lot of brothers, right?
Yeah.
You know who that friend is.
No one else out there, no one else I can find. is no one like Jesus. Welcome to the Men Let's Talk Worldwide Radio Network, ladies and gentlemen, with Apostle Stanley Williams. This is a network for the entire family all across the globe, ladies and gentlemen. Apostle Stanley is senior pastor along with his awesome and wonderful wife, Apostle Beth Tina Williams, at the Lighthouse of Faith Community Church located in Fort Walton Beach, Florida. Ladies and gentlemen, Apostle Stanley and Apostle Beth Tina welcome you to their Sunday worship and services at their church location in Fort Walton Beach, Florida. Ladies and gentlemen, at 755 Lovejoy Road, Fort Walton Beach, Florida. Ladies and gentlemen, their services start at 10 a.m. Central Time. So if you're in that area, a part of Florida, they'd love to have you stop by, ladies and gentlemen, at 755 Lovejoy Road, Fort Walton Beach, Florida, starting at 10 a.m. Central Time. Ladies and gentlemen, I also want to encourage you, for those around the world, to visit their wonderful website for additional details about this awesome and powerful ministry. LighthouseOfFaith.net is their wonderful website, LighthouseOfFaith.net. Also, ladies and gentlemen, I want to encourage you, before Apostle Stanley comes on, encourage you to get your Bibles out, pen and paper out. This is going to be a wonderful teaching, a wonderful, powerful word tonight, ladies and gentlemen. Also, too, I want you to let you know, to call in. You can call in 347-843-4559. Tell everybody. Text it out. LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, all the social media. Let everybody know that Apostle Stanley Williams is on the Men Let's Talk Worldwide Network. That number again, 347-843-4559. 347-843-4559. Also, too, ladies and gentlemen, very quickly, the chat room is also open as well for those who may want to leave a comment, message, or request prayer. We'll make sure Apostle Stanley gets that information. Go to blogtalkradio.com/men. Let's talk. That's blogtalkradio.com/men. Let's talk. And look for the live programming. Apostle Stanley is live right now. Apostle Stanley Williams on the MLT Network. That'll be the banner signature there for you. Well, ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, I want to bring on the man of God. And ladies and gentlemen, we got to give, if you are not driving, ladies and gentlemen, we want to give the man of God a round of applause as he comes to the worldwide mic. Apostle Stanley, welcome to the Men Let's Talk Network.
Well, praise be to God, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Men Let's Talk broadcast. And I want to emphasize also that this is for men and women. Don't let the title of the broadcast restrict you from listening in, because God wants to do and is doing great and mighty things. This is an important day for not only the church, but for individuals, because God is doing a new thing. He's tuning us into his frequency, what he's doing right now. There's a specific time frame that we're in, and in this time frame, we're starting to see tremendous things happen both on the earth and in the spirit. As I wrote on my Facebook page, this that God gave me, or this statement that God gave me, it's important to realize our time frame. Now tonight my guest is going to be Minister Kevin Bond, and we're going to be discussing the subject, the purpose of the conscience. But I want to bring this to your attention. I wrote this because I felt that God gave it to me. It's very important that we wake up to our present time. This is what it says. We live in a world where people are losing touch with reality. Is that not true, ladies and gentlemen? Men and women are making decisions to kill people at random and then kill themselves. Just recently, we had a husband and wife kill police officers, and then the wife turned on the husband, killed him, and then killed herself. And you have to ask yourself the question, what in the world would prompt individuals to do such things? And then I wrote this. This is not a passing fad, but is occurring with increasing frequency, and it shows no indication of subsiding. In other words, since Columbine, this thing is beginning, has been getting worse and worse and worse, and it continues to escalate as copycat killings and all the things happening in the nation. There's a sense in the spirit that the consciences of men and women have been seared. Now, of course, we don't know. These people were not necessarily saved. But you got to understand that the concept of conscience crosses the whole boundary of humanity, including the church. People have conscience. God made sure of that. The forces that the enemy uses to destroy or attempt to destroy different, he uses or employs different weapons at different times to affect different people, but the attack is coming from the same source. And so we have to be aware that conscience is extremely important. Now, I'm not going to lay this back. I'm going to pray, but I just want to, you know, just put this out there. There are so many questions that have to be answered. Like, what makes a man stockpile weapons to kill innocent people or speak about the intention to harm people with such a cavalier, nonchalant attitude? What makes a religious leader pass by an injured man without so much as a thought because of scheduling conflict? What is it that made the Good Samaritan stop and take action in a situation that he could not overlook, that he could have overlooked? Is it not true that Samaritans and Jews were enemies, but yet he stopped and he took action? What was the driving force of conviction that motivated him? What is it that makes a person stop and realize, I can't do this. This is hurting somebody. This is harmful. This is damaging somebody. It doesn't feel right. I submit to you that the conscience is a very important part of the makeup of man. And when it is seared, the feeling of remorse or sympathy that would lead a person to reject a certain action or action, they're scabbed over. So it's very important to note that when the Holy Spirit is present in a person's life, the human conscience is affected greatly. It is his presence that makes a person become tender, affectionate, empathetic, as well as discerning. The conscience helps a person distinguish between what's right and wrong, the power of conscience. So I want to, you know, say a quick prayer, and then I want to just bring my guest in, and we're going to discuss first the Good Samaritan. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord God, for giving us this broadcast. I thank you for just motivating and empowering and giving Minister Kevin Vaughn the insight, the ability and the skill to bring this thing to pass, and to have the love, the compassion, and understanding to invite others to be a part of what he is doing. Father, I thank you, God, for all the radio, all the people who are on this radio broadcast that do different broadcasts. Lord, I thank you for blessing all of them. But for this hour, you've opened up an opportunity for Apostle Stanley Williams and Minister Kevin Vaughn to speak to your people. So, Lord, give us grace and give us mercy. In the name of Jesus, let these words go forth, penetrate in the hearts of your people, and let them be greatly beneficial. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen. Minister Kevin, are you there?
Amen, Apostle. Yes, I am. Thank you. It's such an honor to be with you tonight, sir. Amen.
You know, we mentioned,
yes,
the Good Samaritan.
Yes,
we mentioned that we were going to discuss this topic of conscience from Luke chapter 10,
yes,
verse 30.
Yes.
So you got an opportunity to go over these passages.
Yes, I did,
Luke,
sir.
37. What impression did you get from this?
Yes, sir. Matter of fact, Apostle Stanley, I had the pleasure of my wonderful wife. I immediately called her after we talked to get me started on this, because I tell you, my wife is such a wonderful, and our wives are such a wonderful help when getting into the Word, of course. They have some great insight. And she led me right to Luke 10, 25 and 37. And Apostle, what I did very quickly and very briefly is I first of all looked up, you know, read the entire verses 25 through 37, first of all. And then I basically wanted to understand again is what is a priest? What was a Levite and what was a Samaritan? And most of the audience may know that, but the priest, as you know, Apostle, but real quickly, I wanted to share this for those who may not know. The priest was authorized to perform sacred rituals. That's the first thing. The Levite, he was a Hebrew, part of the Hebrew tribe of Levi. He had religious duties and political duties within the house of Israel. And then the Samaritan, which was a little exciting here, he considered as part of the Samaritan population, if you will, a charitable or a helpful person from Samaria during the biblical time. So that's the first thing I did, Apostle Stanley, was to find out who these individuals were and what was their role during that time in the Word of God. So I thought that was pretty exciting in itself. And then from there, we looked at the opportunity to see what each role of the person would be during that time when we during the Samaritan travel.
Isn't it interesting, Minister Kevin, that you mentioned the priest and the Levite? They're directly connected to the religious system of the Jews.
Yes, sir.
You would think that they would be very, very righteous and very aware of the plight of this individual.
Yes, sir.
But they just passed by.
Yes, sir.
I mean, it was as if nothing motivated them to stop, even though they could see that this situation was very drastic. Tell me in right there and tell me what you think.
Yeah, you know, Apostle, even today, I'll just bring it up to date. You know, there was a cartoon, basically, that saw a man drowning. It was a cartoon. It wasn't real funny, but it's just the fact that they had several people sitting there taking cell pictures, you know, basically on their phone of him drowning. And
right.
Nobody didn't call 911. The cartoon was just showing how insensitive, so to speak, some people are. But what concerned me, going back to the priests and the Levites, is that the fact they didn't even call anybody or to say notify anybody, even when they got to the destination, that there was a man maybe a half a mile down or whatever the mileage was away from the town they were going, that they didn't even call anybody about going to see about this man that had this problem. That's what I've got out of this.
Now here's the other factor that we have to throw into the mix, because now we're talking about conscience.
Yes.
And we have defined conscience as the ability to sense right from wrong.
Yes, sir.
It's a moral quality that's built into the fabric of every man, whether they're saved or unsaved. But now with the saved individual, the conscience is more guided by the Holy Spirit, which makes this person even more sensitive to the plight of people. Now here we have a priest and a Levite. Now we're not talking about necessarily the New Testament concept.
Yes.
What we are talking about is the conscience.
Yes.
What we are talking about is that these people are people who should have known God.
Yes, sir.
What is it that made them so callous that they couldn't sense, that there wasn't enough sensitivity to realize, I need to do something. I need to stop.
Mm-hmm.
I need to be aware of what's happening here.
Yes.
I need to be compassionate or tender to this individual. But then again, on the other side, and I want to throw this into the mix, and then I want to let you come in again. You got to understand that Samaritans were literally enemies of the Jews.
Yes.
A Samaritan person had no reason to really jump in and do anything. These two people groups did not get along. They were rejected. Samaritans were rejected. That was tremendous tension between the Samaritans and the Jews. Even when Jesus was talking to the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman, he told her, he said, you say we should worship on this mountain. But we are the Jews. We know what we worship. She wasn't an insider. Samaritans were not insiders. They were outsiders.
Yes, sir.
But yet, here you have a man that had no reason to really stop and do anything. What is it that motivated him to stop? A sense of compassion towards this individual. What is it that made him feel tender? It says, but a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was and passed by on the other. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. The question is, Minister Kevin, why did he have compassion? He had literally no reason. I want you to chime in right there.
Thank you so much, Apostle. You know, one thing, going back to the priests, Apostle, I was thinking about them again, if you don't mind, the priests authorized to perform sacred rituals. Just guessing, I guess I have to just guess on this here, that they had a specific purpose why they were traveling. And at that time, I'm sure they weren't interested in anything else but what they were supposed to be doing that day. The Levite also, as part of the religious duties, political duties, if I could fast forward to today, sometimes we get so busy that we don't have, we think that, hey, I got to get to this meeting, I got to get to this opportunity, I know there's a problem here, but I will be late. I will not be responsible for my duties if I miss this meeting. So I'm thinking that both the priest and the Levite may have had some pressing things based on their positions that they thought they needed to do. But now with the Samaritan, though, Apostle, I would have to sum it up. He had heart. He had a heart for people.
That's correct.
I would have to just sum it up just like that, Apostle. He had a heart for people. Not knowing his background, he has a heart for people. Back to you, Apostle.
Now, why didn't he didn't respond to his heritage. He could have looked at this guy and said, I don't have anything to do with you.
Yes.
I don't want anything to do with you. You don't like us. We don't like you. And I'm going to let you stay here and die. But this guy went so far out of his way.
Yes.
Until it's just amazing.
Yes,
he,
it is.
It said that he had compassion on him.
Mm-hmm.
And he went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his beast and brought him to an end. Why is it that he didn't just fix the wounds up and leave him?
Yes, exactly. Wow.
And then he set him on his beast and brought him to an end and took care of him. Now, that took time.
Yes, yes.
Then he left money to make sure that he was taken care of and then he was going to come back, and if there was any excess bill left, he was going to take care of it also.
Yes.
Now, I have a good definition of a clear conscience here, and I want to read it, and then we're going to talk further about this. Because I want to deal with the forces that operate against different people at different times and how the Holy Spirit will minister to the conscience of a saved person. Listen, it says here, a clear conscience consists in being able to say that there is no one, God or man, whom I have knowingly offended and not tried to make it right, either by asking forgiveness, restoration, or both. Tell me what you think.
Amen. Amen. Yes, sir, Apostle. I was just taking some notes as you was talking there. And without a doubt, the Spirit of God, if you will, or the Spirit of the Holy Spirit, would have to be with you in order to make that clear type of conscience. Because I believe when God has talked to you or touched you through the power of the Holy Spirit, your mindset changes towards individuals. It changes towards family. It changes towards your fellow man, if you will. And you just can't just walk away from situations where you can help. That's why I love the Samaritan. Not only did he have the heart, he also had the means to do to take him to the next level. Because you mentioned, why didn't he just bandage him up? That would have been a great deed in itself, to bandage him up and leave him there maybe and have somebody come pick him up. But he actually took time out of his schedule and took him all the way to the end and then took care of his bills. That's a power.
That's right. Go ahead. I'm listening.
Yeah, no, that was back to you, Pastor. I was going to say that's pretty powerful, but that just doesn't come from the average person. That just doesn't come from the heart of a man. It has to come from the heart of God. Back to you, Apostle.
Let me ask you this. You know, look at the situation. Did the priest and the Levite, did their religion make them do right? Isn't that a good question?
Yes, a great question. Yes, a great question, Apostle. Yeah,
with all their religion, did that make them do right?
Right, exactly.
The answer is no.
Yeah, exactly.
Did something have to happen inside their hearts? It's not what they were wearing, and it's not what they professed. It's what they did.
Right.
Isn't it?
Yes, the actions taken or not taken.
That's right. The right actions were not taken.
Right.
Regardless to what they profess to be, in the end, what a person does is what shows who they are.
Yes, yes.
Now listen to this, Mr. Kevin. I want everybody in the audience, turn your Bible to James chapter 4, verse 17. We're talking about the conscience. And I want to give you an opportunity to read it, Mr. Kevin, before I start talking.
Yes, sir. Yeah, I'm
going
to pull it up now. Yes, sir.
Are you there?
Yes, sir. Getting there now.
It says here, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Isn't that interesting?
Yes.
That's a very powerful passage. If you know to do right and you don't do it, then it's sin. Doesn't that make things dangerous for people who know stuff?
Yes, it does, especially at that level of leadership. Yes, sir. No doubt about it.
Here you have a man that, you know, the Samaritans also were religious. The Samaritans were religious. They felt you need to worship on the mountain, but, you know, his actions showed his deep care.
Yes.
But yet the action of the Levite, the priest, showed that they were callous.
Yes.
Their scheduling issues, their preaching, their preaching engagements or whatever it is they had
right.
to do superseded or took precedence over the needs of this person.
Yes.
And it's very possible that because he was, you know, just out there, they might have just thought, this guy's nothing, I'm going to keep on going. But can
right.
we really afford to be that way?
No, sir, we cannot. We cannot, Apostle.
The word sears, when it comes to the conscience, talks about a callous being over the conscience. To be seared is to be burned like with a hot iron.
Yes.
And to have a hard area over what should be a tender area.
Mm-hmm.
When you get a callus on your hand, your hand becomes hard in that area because that area has been rubbed.
Yes.
And it becomes, and in order for it not to hurt or become too sensitive, it develops like a scab.
Yes.
In the human consciousness, there would be a coldness that would come.
Yes.
So that they couldn't feel. But is it not true that conscience doesn't just deal with physical murder? For instance, we're dealing with people now that just randomly go out
right.
and just kill.
Exactly.
They don't have any feeling. There was a young man recently. He was discussing what he was going to do with police
yes.
officers, and he just simply said, I was going to destroy him, and then I was
wow.
going to destroy myself, and I was going to destroy my family. There was absolutely no conscience.
Yes.
It was like gone. And he was just cold and calculated. I mean, it really didn't mean absolutely anything to him. Is it not that when you're sitting in a group and you're destroying someone's reputation, that something, the thing you're just talking and it's negative and it's bad,
yes.
Is it not true that something inside of you should say, wait a minute, I need to stop.
Yeah.
I can't handle this. Even if I feel like I'm not really close to this person, I don't like this person.
Right.
I need to do this. What happens when someone can do that but nothing speaks up inside?
Hmm.
Tell me what you think.
Well, Apostle, you're talking about that callousness, as you talk about when you have something, when your spirit is seared over, if you will, you don't feel the goodness, if you will, that would normally come out of a person says, I need to make a choice here and take care of this person. And it shouldn't be very long that you have to do that. You shouldn't have to wrestle with your soul or your mind or your spirit to make a decision on helping one mother. It could be somebody who just fell down. Elderly person may have just fell. Do you not think about helping them quickly, or do you have to think about whether this is the right thing to do or not? So it goes back to what you said last week, even about being seared, the spirit being seared. And also, Apostle, I wanted to ask, is not fear a part of that as well? I was thinking that along with the priest and the Levite, were they also fearful of maybe being attacked in that manner themselves? Why they didn't stop? Outside of their conscience being seared, would fear also be a part of that?
It could be. You know, that was a dangerous area. Obviously,
yeah.
You know, that fell among thieves. It was a situation. But you know what? Why is it that the Samaritan wasn't afraid?
Right. Exactly. Good
what
point.
What is it that made him help? What is it that makes a person stop and not do certain things?
Yes.
What is it? There's a sensitivity that has to be present. That's
yes.
The context. The land itself, America, is facing crisis of conscience.
Yes.
Why we're every day, have you noticed that almost every day we're seeing these things happen?
Yes. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Sometimes even at the highest political level, we're seeing people do things that you would say that's unconscionable.
Right.
And you're wondering how. What happens is that sensitivity leaves. It goes. And the awareness of right and wrong becomes skewed. And it can happen to anyone.
Yes.
So we literally have to be on top of our guard regarding sensitivity to the Holy Spirit and even sensitivity to the human conscience. Or we can become hard.
Yes.
Now, isn't it true Saul of Tarsus was hard?
Yes.
He going about killing people. He didn't even dragging people into the council. He didn't even care if it was men or women. It didn't even matter to him.
No.
He was as cold as ice. You've read that story, haven't you?
Yes, I have, sir.
What happened to him? Because shortly after he went on this 3-day fast and Ananias prayed for him and scales fell off his eyes, something happened inside of him.
Yes,
where
yes.
He literally became compassionate to
yes.
The point he was even willing to go out and minister to Gentiles. Something happened to his consciousness, Paul didn't become weak. Paul was still a very bold individual.
Yes, he was.
But he felt things that he didn't feel before, thought about things he didn't think about before, went to places he didn't go before, touched people he wouldn't touch before. It's amazing what happens when the conscience is in the state that it's supposed to be in. Isn't it amazing?
Yes, it is.
And so now I want to switch a little bit, and I want to talk about a father and son situation, Absalom and David. Remember, I mentioned that I might discuss Absalom?
Yes, sir. Yeah, I got some notes on that as well, Apostle. Yeah, we did a good little study on that as well earlier.
Yeah. I'm looking at 2 Samuel 15:4.
Yes.
And in the fourth verse, Absalom said, "Oh, that I were a judge in the land, that every man which hath any suit or cause might come unto me, and I would do him justice." Why didn't he feel for his father? Why didn't he care for David at all? How did he get into a mental state to where he literally lost his awareness? This is my daddy that I'm dealing with. How did his conscience get so sidetracked till he could pull the whole kingdom away from his own father, and his own father had to run out of Jerusalem for fear of his life? Go ahead, Minister Kevin.
Amen. You know, Apostle, I was doing a little research on Absalom, and Absalom comes up about 109 times in the Bible, and it talks about here Absalom's choices. He had choices, Apostle. He had choices. He knew his authority. He knew of his dad, and I'm sure he knew of some love that David had for him as well, but it was all about choices. It was what we call a rebellious spirit today, a true rebellious spirit today. So it came down after reading some passages in the Word of God about Absalom and his choices and even his love from his father, King David. It came down to choices. He strictly did not respect his dad. He did not respect his authority. And he did not respect himself. He therefore, as the summary said here, he just wanted to go in his own direction, regardless of the consequences. Back to you, Apostle.
Isn't it interesting that
yes.
when the conscience is seared?
Yes, sir. It was truly seared.
When you
seared.
Forget who you're dealing with, when you forget
right.
who you're talking
to, right.
When you forget people, when you forget spiritual leadership even, when you forget relationships that you had and you begin to become cold to those relationships, you can do things that you would not have imagined to do.
Yes, yes.
You have to stay in touch with God so
yes.
that he can touch that conscience.
Absolutely.
I mean, Absalom wound up being killed because of his callousness.
Yes.
And he was killed by a man who was callous himself, Joab. Because David had told him, "Don't kill my son."
Right.
And Joab totally forgot. So you can be around callous people.
Yes.
And it doesn't matter whether a person uses the term, "I'm religious" or not. Remember the priest and the Levite. Absolutely in religion. Would you agree?
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
But their actions were still wrong, whether
yes,
they were in religion or not.
That's
and
right.
And so we're talking about the conscience. We're not talking about weakness. We're talking about the conscience. You know what? I wanted to say this. I was
yes,
watching
sir.
A show recently, and it really brought something home to me. And I just sat in my car, and I just thought, wow. And in this show, you had a murderer.
Yes.
And the murderer was cold. I mean, he was cold. He was
yes.
cold to even himself. I deserve to die. And he was
right.
just cold everywhere. But something happened. This guy got sick. And he was injected with a certain type of serum.
Mm.
And that serum did something to him mentally. And when he woke up from the coma that they had induced to keep him.
Yes, sir.
He woke up feeling like, "Oh my God, I feel ashamed. I feel guilty. I feel bad about what I did. What is wrong
yes.
with me? But
uh-huh.
I never felt this way before. What exactly is going on? And I don't know. What have you done to me?" All of a sudden, his conscience was woke up.
Yes.
It was the concept that the director used that moved me. This
yes.
guy went cold to sensitive overnight.
Mm.
And it
oh.
shocked his system so much until he was thinking, I've never been like this before. I don't know what's going on with me. Something had happened on the inside of him. The Apostle Paul went from cold to sensitive to the Jews, or the born-again Christians at that time, overnight. He was trying to kill them, but all of a sudden he was in love with them.
Yes.
God woke his conscience up, and he became aware, wait a minute, I've been wrong. He never even considered himself to be wrong.
Yes.
But yet all of a sudden now,
wow,
he feels.
Yes.
We need to pray for the nation, Minister Kevin.
Sir. Yes, sir. Yes,
we
sir.
Need to pray, not
yes.
only for the church, but
yes.
the nation itself.
Yes, yes.
Because the conscience, every man, whether saved or unsaved, has a conscience.
Yes.
The saved person has an advantage in that the Holy Spirit is there.
Yes.
But even an unsaved person has a conscience. Something
yes.
inside that says, I can't do this.
Yes.
I don't need to do this. I don't need to go here.
Yes, yes.
I don't need to just kill people randomly. Now, I'm
yes.
not saying, I'm not, you know, playing games with this. I'm not
right.
saying that everybody doesn't need to be saved.
Right.
They do. Every person needs Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The purpose
awesome.
Of the broadcast is to bring people to Jesus.
Yes.
To bring them to that, to let the Holy Spirit do his work.
Yes.
In their lives.
Yes.
To let him minister to them. The,
yes.
the greatest miracle of all is salvation. That's the highest miracle. In fact, there can be no greater miracle.
Amen. 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 Praise God. Apostle?
Yes.
Yes, sir. I wanted to make a get your opinion about this as well. Because as you was talking, the Holy Spirit brought to my remembrance about environment. How important is your environment? Until, potentially, until your environment changes, I don't see how the callousness can get away. You can be around that situation of negativity, if you will, most of your life, and you can be insensitive to other people because of your environment. But I believe when you get out of that type of environment and begin to see the other side of life, the other side of compassion, the other side of people's needs, I believe the Holy Spirit begins to work on the individual, work on people to bring them back to their true consciousness for humanity, if you will. So how important
That's
is environment?
Exactly right. Go ahead. I want you to finish that thought.
Yes, sir. Yeah, I just wanted to share with you, and the reason why I mention that, over the years, personally, I'll just use me personally, I've had the pleasure of going into prison for ministries, prison ministries, with our church in Arizona. Had the pleasure
yeah.
of being with shelters, homeless people, if you will, in shelters and feeding them, helping them. And believe me, your heart definitely gets more in tune to what God wants you to do in these areas of helping people. So it just enhanced seeing these people in need, whether it's in the prison system, the shelters, and the food lines, whatever it was. It just improved my environment, expanded my love for humanity, and it just changed my life to improve myself as well, to make sure I'm sensitive to the needs of this. Back to you, Apostle.
Yes. I mean, as I was saying, because you're absolutely right, to see a prisoner changed
yeah.
from one state to another. This person
yeah.
is being affected, and that conscience becomes tender, and they begin to change and to evolve into a person of faith. That's
yes.
an amazing thing to see, and that's
yes.
really what we want. But here is something that's very interesting. It's in Romans chapter 2, verse 14. I want you to get there, and I want the audience to get there. Everybody that's listening, I want you to get to Romans chapter 2, verse 14. I don't
yeah,
want to
I'm
talk
there,
about
Apostle. I'm there. Mm-hmm.
What the Apostle Paul said. Of course, now the word conscience
yes.
is all through Scripture, but mostly Old Testament.
Yes.
Excuse me, most New Testament, and mostly in the writings of Paul. But the concept itself is in the Old Testament, which
yes.
last week we talked about Adam and Eve.
Yes.
After they sinned, they felt this strong sense of conviction, so much so until they hid themselves.
Yes.
We just talked about the Apostle Paul when he was Saul of Tarsus and he got knocked off that horse and he fasted for 3 days. He was a changed man.
Yes, yes.
Thinking totally different. What we want to get to today, and I want to have another session on this, is we want to just get to the point where we make people aware. Please pray for sensitivity.
Yes.
It will make you aware of everything you're doing.
Yes.
Whether you're in secret or whether
yes.
you're in a group, whether you're discussing something, whether
yes.
you're mad at someone,
yes.
whether you're...
Yes.
Whether, you know, you see a situation like the Levite, the priest, and the Samaritan, no matter
yes.
what it is, you're dealing with spiritual leadership, whatever, you'll be sensitive to know what I should do and what I shouldn't do. That's
yes.
your conscience. Romans chapter 2, verse 14 says this. But when the Gentiles, so now Paul is talking about outsiders now,
yes.
correct?
Yes, sir.
He says, when the Gentiles, which have no law,
right.
they are not even aware of what we know, do by nature the things of the law.
Mm. Wow.
These, having not the law, are a law unto themselves, which
mm.
show the work of the law written in their heart, their
yes.
conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the means while accusing or else excusing one another. Now look, I'm going to read the same passage from the Message Bible, Minister Kevin. We only got a
yes,
few
sir.
Minutes left. I believe
yes,
this
sir.
Is a great broadcast.
Yes, yes, it is.
This. When outsiders who have never heard God's law follow
yes.
it,
yes.
more or less by instinct, they confirm its truth by their obedience. They show that God's law is not something alien, imposed on us from the outside, but woven into the very fabric of our creation. There is something deep within them that echoes God's yes and no, right and wrong.
Yes.
Their
yes.
response to God's yes and no will become public knowledge on the day God makes his final decision about every man and about every woman. There are two key words in this passage. The first key word is the word accusing. Literally, it means to stand before a judge, to make an accusation, or to be judged. Literally, your conscience stands up as a judge inside you and says, Kevin,
yes.
I'm your minister, Kevin, but I'm just using an analogy. Kevin,
yes, sir.
That's wrong.
That's right.
Have you ever felt that before?
Absolutely, Apostle. Matter of fact, that's what we call a checkup from the neck up, Apostle. I don't know if you heard that phrase, but that's what I use daily. I need to check myself from the neck up every day, Apostle, in the name of
Something
Jesus.
Something inside you stands up and says,
that's
wrong.
Right. That's right.
Now, the next word is the word excusing. It means to defend oneself.
Yes.
There's another force that tries to stand up to inside you that says, I don't care. It doesn't make any difference to me. Who cares?
Hmm.
Which one will you yield to? That is the question.
Amen.
Now, conscience here, listen, the word conscience literally means knowing with. It is a co-knowledge with oneself or a being of one's own witness in the sense that one's own conscience takes a stand as the chief witness, testifying either of one's innocence or one's guilt. It describes the witness born of one's conduct by that facility by which we apprehend the will of God. In other words, there's something that stands up inside you, and it either accuses you or it excuses you. That's why Paul was able to say, I don't even feel that I've done anything wrong. I've conducted myself with a good conscience from the very beginning. In
Amen.
Other words, he felt very, very excused because the Holy Spirit revealed in his conscience, you have not done wrong. You have lived right.
Mm.
And he was able to say that to the council.
Wow.
So now, The conscious then is necessary.
Yes.
And here in Romans 2, the point is made, he's talking about the Gentiles, people that the Jews did not even accept, or
yes.
outsiders. Listen, literally every person has a conscience. And that conscience, even when a person is not born again, have you ever seen somebody who's not born again, but they're just the kindest person?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, Apostle.
They have all this compassion and they're very
yep.
moral.
Yep,
that's
exactly. Yep.
Now imagine if that same person is touched by the Holy Spirit.
Amen. It just enhances it. It enhances
that's
what's
right.
already
How
there.
How much more sensitive.
That's right.
Thank you. Be. And so we're going to bring this thing down with this. And then, Minister Kevin, if you have the time and God bless and God speaks to your heart, we'll do this again next week.
Absolutely, Apostle. Absolutely.
I want to give one more passage in, Minister Kevin.
Yes, sir.
And that is Psalms chapter 19, verse 13. And then we're going to pray.
Amen.
When you're there, just tell me.
Yes, sir.
It says, keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sin. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright.
Yes.
And I shall be innocent from the great transgression.
Mm.
Keep me from doing wrong.
Yes.
Make me sensitive.
Yes.
Make me tender. Even though, and I'm using an analogy now, even though I am a Samaritan,
yes,
I can see that this person is hurting. Even though I don't go to this other church over here, I can see that this person is hurting.
Yes.
It's driving me to pray. It's driving me to feel a sense of compassion, to ask God, help them. Minister to them. And I'm not driven to feel like I don't want anything to do with them. And I just pass them back in my prayers instead of in the spirit binding up their wounds, ministering to them. The church across town, the person in the cubicle next to you that you don't necessarily feel like you like is still a human being. That's the conscience. Could you murder them verbally without a second thought? Are not the forces that call the person to murder a human being in cold blood with a gun, the same forces that would cause a person to murder or assassinate you in cold blood with their mouth? Are those not the same forces at work?
Yes.
You're just not dead physically, but your reputation is destroyed.
Yes.
Sensitivity would say what David said. He said, Saul might die on the battlefield. He might die by the sword of another man, but he will not die by my hand. That's sensitivity. Sensitivity is having the opportunity to kill the king and standing right there with me and encouraging you to kill him, and then cutting the hem of his skirt and going up and saying, Saul, Saul, and then feeling even guilty that you even cut his skirt.
Yes.
That's sensitivity.
Yes.
That's the conscience. Conscience is, as we end, being able to say, there is no man or God whom I have knowingly offended and not tried to make it right, either by asking forgiveness or restoration or both. Conscience is like a window that lets in light. When the window is soiled, the light gradually becomes darkness.
Yes.
One conscience is defiled, it gradually gets worse and eventually may even be seared, so that all sensitivity is gone.
Yes.
That's what we can't afford in the nation, and we definitely can't afford it in the church when it's the case.
That's right. Amen, Apostle.
I'm going to ask you. I want you to take this last few minutes. I want you to minister to the people, and I want you to pray.
Thank you so much, Apostle. Ladies and gentlemen all around the world, you're listening to Apostle Stanley Williams on the Men Let's Talk Worldwide Network. Our wonderful topic tonight, ladies and gentlemen, our wonderful topic tonight is the purpose of conscience. You know, Apostle, as you was talking, I wanted to just share this last thought with you because it kind of ties into all the teaching you've given us in the past going back to Genesis. But you're basically saying, if I understand, please correct me if I'm wrong, in all of us pretty much is a DNA or the seed of good conscience. Pretty much everybody has a good seed of good conscience. They were born with that. And I tie that all the way back to when God breathed life into Adam. And from there, you know, we had that goodness of God that was inside of all of us through all eternity, I believe, till he comes back. But I believe all of us have a DNA of good seed of conscience in all of us today. And one reason why I mention that too, Apostle, is occasionally you'll meet people that don't believe God, atheists, agnostics, but they love their family. They take care of their family. They work. They don't hurt nobody. They have good times with friends. They're not necessarily racist. You know, just good people. And but yet they don't believe in the true and living God, but they have a great conscience, as we say in our society, or what we call a moral compass today.
That's right.
And that's very,
right.
very important. Yeah. So I thought
right
that was very...
Key.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, Apostle.
Right on, keep going.
Yes, sir. So at this time, Apostle, I'm excited about what God is doing on this broadcast and in this awesome word. We know those out there listening definitely are being changed by the word of God from you today. So we thank you so much, and I'm ready to pray, Apostle. Father God in heaven, we thank you for, first of all, for Apostle Stanley Williams and his wonderful wife. Father God, we thank you for the Williams family. We thank you for this wonderful broadcast. But right now, in the mighty name of Jesus, Father God, we pray for a DNA enhancement right now, Father God. We just pray for that DNA to be enhanced in every listener, Father God, and every person that will hear this broadcast later on as well. That DNA that is already inside them, that seed of greatness, that seed of consciousness that is good, Father God, we just pray that it awaken right now in the name of Jesus, Father God. We pray that the Holy Spirit, angels be dispatched, Father God, across the waves, the airwaves, across the network, across the land, Father God, across the oceans, Father God, across the continents, where DNA will now be arise, Father God. There'll be a consciousness, Father God, against the things of evil, where things will people start thinking about what they're doing, Father God, before they do it. We have a consciousness today, Father God, where people are just not thinking. Father God, we pray for thought today, that people will think about their actions before they even attempt the action, Father God, no matter what it is. We pray right now that they just have that awakening right now by the power of the Holy Spirit. So, Father, we pray for those, whether they're behind bars, Father God, they're in homes, prisons, it doesn't matter, Father God, wherever there's a need right now, we just pray, Apostle, right now that the people that need that DNA awakening, need another jolt in their consciousness right now that brings them back to where they're supposed to be, Father God. We just pray for that right now because it's already inside of them. We just pray for that awakening, Father God, in the name of Jesus, Father God. We just pray that you just jolt them right now and bring them to the reality of who they truly are, Father God. So, Father God in heaven, we thank you so much for this time of airways. We thank you for the reports that are going to come back, Father God, where people's lives are changed. They're thinking more about your conscious state, not only on a weekly basis, but we're talking about on a daily basis, Father God. Let us always have our check up from the neck up, Father God, where we continually think about others, Father God. It's not about us, not about me, Father God. It's all about you. So we pray that you be glorified, Father God, in everything we do tonight. And we give you all the praise and the glory and the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Back to you, Apostle.
I thank you, God, for the highest order of things, that men be saved. That not only they follow their conscience and do what's right,
yes,
but Lord, they allow the Holy Spirit to enter their lives so that they can experience that glorious liberty of salvation. I thank you, Lord God, for what you did in Genesis 2:7, where we became, when you blew into Adam and he became a living soul. I
yes.
thank you for making consciously aware. I thank you, Lord God, for tenderheartedness and for sensitivity and for empathy and for all of the things that make a person do that which is right. Release
yes.
that over the nation in the name of Jesus. And beyond all, send out witnesses into the field so that all of these things that we can be discussed, that we have discussed, can come to their ultimate conclusion that men need Jesus Christ. Right now, save people. All over the world. Save.
Yes. Yes.
Save people who are thinking about murdering.
Yes.
Save people who are lonely. Save people
yes.
who have come out of bad environments. Save
yes.
people from every quarter, from every nation, from every race, from every kindred, from every tongue. In the name of Jesus Christ, wake up the vanishing conscience right now. And remember, ladies and gentlemen, as we go, as I turn this broadcast over to the capable hands of the great Minister Kevin Vaughn, only God able to keep us from falling. Minister Kevin, I love you. God bless you.
Amen. I love you too, Apostle Stanley Williams. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, Apostle. What a wonderful word. Amen. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen all around the world, you've been listening to the broadcast with Apostle Stanley Williams on the Men Let's Talk Radio Network. This is for the entire family, and we trust that you had a wonderful, enlightening and encouraging time tonight in the Word of God. The topic tonight, Apostle, is doing a series on is the purpose of conscience. What a powerful, powerful topic, ladies and gentlemen. Just can't wait to the next opportunity with Apostle to learn and to be excited about the Word of God in this area. So we thank God for you tonight. And ladies and gentlemen, we're going to play this wonderful song from the Winans, A Friend, and then we're going to come back with some final announcements for you, ladies and gentlemen, and we want to let you know that God loves you. So we'll play the song, and I'll come back with some final announcements. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Apostle Stanley Williams on the Men Let's Talk Network. God bless you.
Hey, what's happening, man?
Hey, what's up, man? I'm so glad to be back.
It's good to have you back.
I can't believe I'm with the Winans.
You know what? Somebody that's with all of us.
Yeah.
You know, he that hath friends must
first show himself friendly.
Right.
Well, I know by being in this place that there's a whole lot of people that wants to know who this friend is. Why don't you tell them about it, Mark?
Well, there's a friend that sticks closer than any brother. I got a lot of brothers, right?
Yeah.
You know who that friend is.
No one else out there, no one else I can find.
coming all around the world. Wanted to remind you that you can actually download this wonderful programming from Apostle Stanley Williams. Go back to blogtalkradio.com/menletstalk, and you can actually put this on LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, email it to yourself, and download it, listen to it over and over again. And literally, you could actually download it and put it on a CD and put it in your car, or give it as a gift to someone that wants to hear this wonderful messaging and teaching from Apostle Stanley Williams. Ladies and gentlemen, our topic tonight has been the purpose of conscience. Oh, very powerful series that Apostle has put together, and we're just excited about the next week already. But ladies and gentlemen, I want to encourage you also too to visit their wonderful ministry website. That's lighthouseoffaith.net for more details about the wonderful ministry down in Fort Walton Beach. That's lighthouseoffaith.net. Their church location, ladies and gentlemen, in time, of course, Sunday worship services start at 10 a.m. Central Time. That location is 755 Lovejoy Road, Fort Walton Beach, Florida. Let everybody know in your network about the Apostle Stanley Williams, Apostle Bethany Williams, lighthouseoffaith.net. That's lighthouseoffaith.net, and the church is the Lighthouse of Faith. Thank you in Fort Walton Beach, ladies and gentlemen. Also, too, I want to let you know, ladies and gentlemen, to continue to pray, out love, out serve, and out forgive each other. Until next time on the network, we love you, and we're going to give God another round of applause. In the name of Jesus, we pray, amen. Give God all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. We thank God for Apostle Stanley. Until next time, ladies and gentlemen, we love you. Bye-bye.